When Paul says that we are to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, he means Jesus is to be venerated because of what he replicated. That Jesus, if nothing else, is a soul that singularly and uniquely lived out of the reservoir of the genuine. The capacity for the genuine broke the power of pretense over his life. That was true for him, and it's true for us.
That's Bishop Robert Wright, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith entitled, The Sound of the Authentic. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, as we begin a new year, we're honored to welcome the Right Reverend Robert C. Wright, 10th Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta. Before his ordination as bishop in late 2012, Rob served for 10 years as rector of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Atlanta. Earlier, he served as canon pastor and vicar at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. Rob was educated at Howard University, Virginia Theological Seminary, and Ridley Hall in Cambridge, England. Rob, thanks for being with us, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's great to be here.
You last preached on Day One almost 4 years ago, not long after you became the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta. Give us a snapshot of the diocese and the people who are part of it.
Well, one way I can describe our common life is that we are the Episcopal Church in Middle and North Georgia. We have in our care 75 and a half counties. We're 112 worshiping communities. We're over 200 clergy, 26 deacons, and more than 50,000 lay people.
Mm-hmm. As an adaptive leader over these past few years, you've helped bring about a good deal of change at the diocese in terms of mission focus and structural streamlining and so forth, essentially in response to the changing church and culture. Can you give us your big picture view of what's happening in the church and how best to respond to and work through these changes?
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, one of the things I celebrate about our sort of theology as Anglicans is that we understand that there are two polarities. We understand that, number one, that we have a glorious and wonderful tradition that we've received, and we're to hold on to that. And at the same time, on the other hand, we are to look at our faith through the lens of what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And to not sort of run around like, you know, spiritual ambulance chasers, but let's to be steady and let's discern about what's emerging. What is the Spirit doing? And that's what we're trying to do right now. What we realize is that the church is changing and the world is changing. And we think that this Jesus is a timeless Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is figure out, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century? It's going to look different. We're going to have to sort of position ourselves. We're going to have to be a little bit more savvy about not only talking to ourselves, but talking to the world. We've spent some money on advertising and helping people to help us position ourselves as people who are curating mm-hmm. A really wonderful gospel that is still relevant in terms of worshiping and configuring ourselves. It means that we want to be open to being in places that we haven't been very present in former times. So we want to look at how to be present in the prisons. We want to look at how to be present among our immigrant population around us. We want to be present to our men and women who come back from war with moral injury. We want to care for them, serve them. We see that all as opportunity. And so really the paradigm is not to necessarily welcome people to the church, but to go out into the world and to welcome people into the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And another area, and you mentioned it, you've been revolutionizing is the diocesan communications effort. We need to be more savvy about how we communicate. But sketch for us what's happening and why that's so important.
Well, first of all, it's to try to do two things very well. That is to talk to our people who are in our congregations, to tell them stories of faithfulness about themselves, really, to harvest, excavate wonderful stories of faith from among our 112 congregations.
Mm-hmm.
And to have them be nourished by that, to see what one another is doing in other places in the diocese. And at the same time, to have as rich and as deep communication with the world, to tell the world who we are, what we think it means to be faithful, to curate, if you will, a space about that. And so in one category of our communications, we're up 2,000% in being able to connect. One of the things I'm most recently proud of is that we had, unfortunately, we had some teen suicides in the diocese. And while that is always a tragic thing, you know, what we had was our young people to respond in faith, and they created a video. It sounds like a small thing, but it ended up with really big effect. Many people, I mean, we saw percentages that we had never seen before about our young people creating a video that said, in fact, we love you. Life can get better. We'll walk beside you. We don't have all the answers, but we feel your pain. And I was amazed to see how that's gone, how that's been really shared abroad. I've been contacted by other countries. In fact, one group of Christians in India wanted to know how we did it, what we did, and that was blessing them even in faraway places. And so we've got to be able to do that better. We have a healing message, and we've got to tell that everywhere we are.
So what do you think the Episcopal Church offers today with its ancient liturgies, the beautiful worship, its challenge to serve as part of what Presiding Bishop Michael Curry calls the Jesus movement?
Right. Well, I think that what we offer is, I think we offer a faith, a tradition that says that our intellect is an organ of faith, that God can be accessed, God can be known through our reason. I think we offer a faith that says that science and faith are siblings. I think we offer a faith that says your hands, your heart, and your head all are a part of a wonderful way to respond to God. I think we offer space, and that is a place to be as we sort of think through what it means to be a child of God located in the cosmos. I think we offer a call to service, a call to meaningful life, a call to be about something more than yourself. Those are timeless pieces. And I think that while we've done a great job in the past, I think we've got to look for new ways to showcase that. I'm really excited about the increase that we've seen in young people coming to church and being involved. That's exciting. And we've come at them a different way, not just come in and sit down and hear what we've got to say, but tell us how you're experiencing God right now. And that has been wonderfully successful. And the service projects that these kids are coming up with is amazing.
In the lectionary, this Sunday is not only New Year's Day, it's also the first Sunday after Christmas Day and the Sunday of the Holy Name of Jesus, and your sermon focuses on the text for the Holy Name of Jesus. Would you read Psalm 8 and the portion of Luke chapter 2 for us?
Absolutely. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have set them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Luke 2:15-21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Rob, we look forward to hearing your sermon. It's entitled The Sound of the Authentic. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Bishop Rob Wright's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
Happy New Year. Ever heard the name Howard Thurman? He was an extraordinary academic, teacher, and preacher of the Christian faith, a Floridian. Some folks say that he is among America's greatest mystics. I heard an audio of him speaking at a college graduation once. Graduation speakers have a tough task. People want wise words about life, learning, even love, and all of this with a good dose of humor. It's sort of like a New Year's Day sermon. In the cadence of a loving grandfather, in his beautiful round bass voice, what he said has attached itself to me. Spoke to me, called my name, blessed me, maybe even made me new. He said, "There's something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself." He said, "The sound of the genuine is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that someone else pulls." Thurman went deep. Down into the heart of things, down into what can make our new year a happy and even a holy year. What is the sound of the genuine? It's just a way of talking about God, the most genuine thing there is, the most whole, the most authentic, 100% real. God, superior in consciousness, matchless in knowing, source of all there is, author of the visible and the invisible, more ubiquitous than mass or gas or space, not the unmoved mover as Aristotle believed, but the most moved mover as Rabbi Heschel taught us, God of all things, in all things, through all things, distributed into each of us, closer to us than our kin or our skin or our synapses, the core, the still point of the circle, the mother and father of everyone that has ever been or ever will be. And if that isn't enough to blow your mind, Thurman says that the genuine, God, is a communicator. God dwells in light, but emits sound, sings a song, has a vibration, is audible, not just the laughing dolphin, the singing bird, or the rustling breeze, but a tone, a note, an audible word that can be heard in and nurtured by the music of silence. The sound of the genuine is best discovered on that beach that is within each of us. That beach that is just beyond the crashing waves of our lives. When we hear that God spoke to Moses, I hear that Moses heard the sound of the genuine, that Moses heard through the ears of his spirit, that either on the shore of the Red Sea or on the crag of some red desert mountain, Moses heard the genuine's whisper, and that whisper he heard was a blessing for Moses and for his people and for generations and generations. What Moses heard was that God is a blessing, a God that has made us the object of graciousness, a God that wants us to shine with the radiance of what it means to be beloved. This is what is genuine of God. All life is lived in God's gaze. "I see you," says God. "I value you, both the genius and the death row inmate, the innocent child and the unrepentant sinner. Each one of you is the epitome of my blessing, each one tattooed with my name."
This is what is genuine of God. God is the giver of peace. Peace. Not the absence of pain or strife, but an anchor in a tossing sea, or laughter in a hospital waiting room, or comfort at a funeral, or hope in the face of dismal data. A new year has come, thank God. But this, God's voice, attending to that, can make us new every day. This is what we've got to get to this year. After the New Year's resolutions have crashed, burned, been swept up and discarded, we've got to hear. Hear. Hear words of blessing, words of healing, words that form in us a deep confidence which makes peace in us, words that lead us to life with the genuine. As a nation, we've just come through a pretty brutal election process. Lots of words were exchanged in the media and with one another. We were bombarded with breaking news of every kind, old news and code words for hate resurfaced. Some of the breaking news broke our spirits. Democracy is messy. Our union is still being perfected, and all of this through the fire hydrant of the 24-hour news cycle. But in all of this, what is genuine is that we are people of faith. You might say we are trans-political. We are in politics, but we are not of it. We are a part of the political process, but we are deeper than the political process. To hear the voice of the holy is to know that we are called to unity, made for unity. Unity made from dignity for all. Yes, we're from different political parties. Our ethnic and racial backgrounds are diverse. Our ideas to solve the problems we face differ. We even root passionately for different football teams. But the fact remains we are one human family, not a human race, a human family. To hear the sound of the genuine is to know that God is our governor and that God's name is above all names we swear allegiance. Not only that, but that somehow because of what is the most genuine in all the universes, not only am I connected to you, but I am connected to everything. The sun, the moon, the planets, the quasars, the quarks, the nightingales, and the supernovas. And if that is true, if that is genuine, if we are hearing right, then division, malice, hatred, and indifference are scientifically illogical. They frustrate grace and are an affront to God. Some years ago, I remember participating in an exercise with a group of folks. We were asked to write down 10 ways in which we described ourselves, our primary self-identifiers. Some folks wrote down the part of the country they were from. Some wrote that they were ex-military. Others wrote cancer survivor, or widow, or father. You get the picture. Then we were asked to trim that list down to 5 identifiers, then 3, then 1. A difficult task. What would your primary identifier be? It was an exercise I'll never forget. As we went around and shared our answer with the group, only one person ended up with Christian as their primary identifier. Just one in a room full of Christians. No judgment, just an observation. Only one said the most genuine way to understand themselves was first and foremost as a follower of Jesus. Consider this. When Paul says that we are to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, he means Jesus is to be venerated because of what he replicated. That Jesus, if nothing else, is a soul that singularly and uniquely lived out of the reservoir of the genuine. That he was obsessed with what is most genuine, most authentic. that at the intersections of his life, he chose the eternal over the temporal. He chose the whole over the partial. The capacity for the genuine broke the power of pretense over his life. That was true for him, and it's true for us. Jesus refused to dance at the ends of strings pulled by other people. He couldn't. Such was his sense of God's trustworthiness. Such was his sense of faithfulness. He found nothing other than the guidance of the Spirit worthy of his full attention. And having heard the sound of the genuine, he gave himself to it. The Gospels record time after time that he heard the sound of the genuine, and without fail, in response, we see him move and turn, bless and encourage, comfort and confront. I guess that's the point. To hear is to act. Just like the shepherds who heard the angel's announcement and ran to Bethlehem to see the new thing God had done in the manger. Just like Mary, who with adolescent abandon said yes to the angel's invitation to birth the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Just like the soldier who saw the hanging body of Jesus on the cross and in an instant knew that God was doing something, genuinely transforming death into life and darkness into light. The years come and go, as they say. Time cascades like the falls at Niagara and roll on. Birth gives way to life and comes again. But thanks be to God, what is constant is that God keeps on speaking. Keeps on singing God's settling song, God's sending song, God's blessing song. And every year, what I know more and more is just how true the words of that old song are. You know the one? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let us pray. Eternal Father, you gave to your incarnate Son the holy name of Jesus to be the sign of your salvation. Plant in every heart, we pray, the love of him who is the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
The Right Reverend Robert C. Wright was our preacher on this first Sunday of the new year. Rob is the Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta. For a free transcript of his message for the Holy Name of Jesus Sunday, entitled The Sound of the Authentic, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day 1 depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your support. As we start a new year of ministry, send your donation to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And remember to listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos. Visit us online at dayone.org. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Deborah Samuelson, Senior Pastor of the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Her sermon for Baptism of the Lord Sunday is entitled Tattooed for Life. You won't want to miss it. Now, Bishop Rob Wright offers some final thoughts on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Rob, you referenced Howard Thurman's eloquent statement to a graduating class, "There's something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself." And if you can't hear that sound of the genuine, Thurman said, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls. You said that grasping that reality can make our new year happy and even holy. The sound of the genuine, you explained, is just a way of talking about God. Would you say more about how we can more intentionally listen for that sound of the genuine, the voice of God within ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Thurman is trying to remind us of is that God is within. And that, number one, I think we long for it, each of us, and that we've got to do something about that longing. We've got to answer that longing. We've got to address it. And so, you know, I can tell you that for myself, you know, just quiet in the morning, being intentional about when we interact with devices, creating a little bit of space, I think is really important. And people do it lots of different ways. Some people do it walking. Some people do it at the gym. Some people do it in front of art. Some people do it while creating art. I mean, I think everybody uniquely has a way forward in this. But I think it has to be paid attention to. It has to be discovered, because I think the stakes are so great. I think that this is what Thurman's warning is to us, is that the real hazard of not getting in touch with oneself and with God, with the authentic, is to live a life that is not authentic, that is given to pretense, that is given to performing. And I think that life is too precious to waste on that. And so we're being called down and in, and all of that leads to up. And there's an inspiration there for us. I think this is what Thurman wants us to know. He could have given advice of any kind to young college graduates, but he decided to go down there, down into where we are, where we really live, out of what's authentic for us. I hope that that those graduates then heard him.
And we as well. This is what is genuine of God, you told us. All life is lived in God's gaze. I see you, says God. I value you. Each one of you is the epitome of my blessing. Each one is tattooed with my name. For some folks, that's hard to hear, let alone believe. So what would you say to someone listening who struggles with the idea that God knows them and loves them and still blesses them?
Yes, I think that is hard for many of us. I was just in a jail last night. We visit women in a prison last night, and I was talking sort of on this very subject, and the woman told me for her 36 years of life, she has struggled with that. She's heard the preachers say that, but she's really struggled with it. And it is a real struggle for us. And I think that this is you know, why this is so urgent, is for us to make this our first order. Maybe that's what we can commit to this, the beginning of this new year, is committing to that, is investigating why that's hard for us to hear. What are the voices that are playing in our head that we've got to just sort of answer back with the wonderful, gracious words of God? I think that's a daily contest that some of us have got to take up. And, you know, I do believe that we can prevail. You know, we can't let these words that are on our hearts and our heads, these tragic words, have the victory over us. We've got to say back to them words of graciousness. We aren't forsaken. I love the way Scripture says it. We're not forsaken, and our name is beloved, and our name is accepted and forgiven. And this is why I think that our life with Scripture is so important. We've got to have something to address these other words that play in our head. And I think that there's nothing more powerful than the words that God has whispered to people just like us for thousands of years.
Rob, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week or maybe even this year?
That God is not silent. God is speaking a future for you with joy.
Bishop Rob Wright, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.